Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. I hope everyone right now is blessed out here. We appreciate you for tuning in. Stay tuned to after the song. We'll be right back. God bless you all.
From the day I was I'll bless.
Another caller on the line. I don't know who it is. It's a new number. But
it's me, Apostle Young.
Oh, it's Apostle Young. Okay. Calling from a different number. That's all great and everything, man. Mm-hmm. Listen, man, it feels good to be back on. We've been off the air for about a week now. It's good to be back on, man. You know what I'm saying? The Dirty Church Radio. Feel good to actually, you know, get on the line here with you brothers and talk about a few things, man. You know what I'm saying?
Hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, okay. All right.
Yeah, yeah. We can hear you clear. Huh? EA.
I was missing it for a little while.
Oh, you was listening?
I was missing it for a little while.
Yeah, missing it right for a little while. Yeah, man. Yeah. Me too, man. I was sitting, I'm like, all right, you know what I mean? But it's great that we back on, you know what I'm saying? Everyone out there, just look forward to some great shows that's going to be coming up. You know, last month in October 3rd, was our actual first show on a Wednesday. Now we are in November, and just look forward to great things. As y'all know out there, as time goes on, there'll be some things changing within the show, different things. But right now, we're just glad to be back on. I'm looking forward to great and better things. Having Aaron, you know, the Devil's Advocate Bradley on here and Apostle Young. The show, by you guys being on here, makes the show that much greater. You know what I'm saying? So on the air, I appreciate both of y'all. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate both of y'all. You know, everyone has their own life and different ventures that they're going out in. But it makes me feel good that brothers are willing to take a little bit of time out of their lives and put part of themselves into Dirty Church Radio to make this a great show. And I really appreciate it.
Well, you should be commended, you know, for even having, you know, the foresight. And thank God, of course, for giving you the insight for the vision of the show. So, you know, it's an honor to be here on the show with you guys. You know, we definitely thank God for you being the visionary. You know, we feed off your vision. So, you know, I deem it as a pleasure, privilege, honor to be a part of it, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate that. Appreciate that.
Everything that Apostle Young said, totally down with that.
Got you. I got you. You know, because, you know, we rarely get, you know, DA to agree with us on stuff. So for him to agree, that's a great thing. You know what I mean?
Well, tonight is going to be a problem.
Oh, you said tonight is going to be a problem? You ain't had a chance to be in rare form in a minute.
Yeah, I know. I know, because
every
conversation we had, it was kind of a general topic. I didn't necessarily have to take a side. You know, it was, we were all, you know, preaching about the same thing, basically. So,
well, everyone out there, tonight's show, whether you read the blog on Blog Talk Radio, which hosts Dirty Church Radio, or on Facebook or whatever, tonight's show is The Wages of Sin. Payday is coming. The wages of sin, payday is coming.
Put your time in.
That's right. Put your time in. That's right. You know what I mean? And you know what? Like, I want to know, like, how much do you make a year? Yeah. You know what I mean? How much do you wait? You know what I mean? What does your benefit package look like? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The wages of sin. And you know, on here, you know, the thing about Dirty Church Radio, this is so good, man. You know, just I want to start out the show, which just gives one meaning of sin from the encyclopedia. And it says, in context, sin is the act of violating God's will. Sin can also be viewed as anything within individuals that violate the ideal relationship between them and God. Then it says, some crimes are regarded as sins, and some sins are regarded as greater than others. In this nuisance concept of sin, sins fall in a spectrum from least corrupt and evil to the greatest evil. Then it says, Catholicism regards the least corrupt sins as venial sins, which are part of human living and carry little divine consequences. Conversely, sins of great evil are mortal sins, which bring dire consequences of going to hell if unrepented. Sins of careless living are considered destructive and lead to greater sins according to the seven deadly sins. Another concept of sin deals with things that exist on earth but not in heaven. Food, for example, while a necessary good for the health of the temporal body, is not of eternal, transcendental living, and therefore is excessive savoring is considered a sin. I just wanted to read that little part right there. And then there's other things we can go into it, dealing how Buddhism looks at sin, Christianity, Hinduism, Islam, Judaism, Shinto. It's a whole bunch of different ones, how their concept of what sin is. That's how I just wanted to start the show, just with that right there. Just in case anyone calls in and, you know, we have to, you know, start tracing the word sin back and see how far we can, you know, actually trace it back. But I think we'll be prepared for that question today if it arises.
Mm-hmm.
Apostle Young.
Well, you know me. I'm a Bible believer, Bible quoter, and you know, I believe that the Bible has a lot of the answers to our different questions, and you know, I might as well just dig right into this here, and so that you know, we can get the ball rolling here, because I just feel like Brother D.A., the devil's advocate, got some stuff. So I'm just going to lay down some biblical foundation here.
Man, nobody ain't worried about D.A., man. You know what I mean? No, let me stop saying it.
Nah. I'm not going to read all the chapter 6 of Romans, but I'm just going to, you know, if you got time and your leisure to all our radio listeners, chapter 6, Romans chapter 6 is a good chapter to read. If you can read it in its entirety, I believe you can get a lot of good revelation and good knowledge out of it. But I want to pull out a few of these scriptures here, the sixth verse.
Romans 6?
Romans, the sixth chapter. And I'm gonna start dissecting here from maybe verse 6,
mm-hmm.
starting at 6, and it reads, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." All right. "Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him." Now, I want to skip down to the 14th verse, because I feel this verse is kind of pivotal for where I'm trying to go on tonight. 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." And the reason why I'm reading this here, because in some of our discussion, we talked about the law, being under the law, and versus being under grace. I'm going to get into that too in the few moments that I have. 15, "What then," that's the question, "shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid." In other words, that's saying just because we're under grace, that doesn't give us carte blanche to just go out and do whatever we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. All right, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." So in other words, it's a choice you make. And with the choices that you make, it comes the wage. Either it's going to be a good wage or it's going to be a bad wage. "I speak after," 19, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, I want to go back to verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Now, I want to break that down a little bit. All right, and then I'm going to yield the floor. Now, I don't want nobody on that's listening to this show to think that once you come on the side of righteousness and the side of holiness, that you won't ever sin again. All right. Now, sin is sin. No matter how you know, we all agree on that. Sin is sin. Well, most of us agree with that. I'm not going to speak for DA. I'm just going to speak for the majority. We believe that sin is sin. There's no sin bigger than the other one. All right. Now, I do believe this. You can sin. There's sins that you can do that can be committed really unaware. You could sin. There's some sins that you can commit out of habit, and when you're doing that, this scripture right here, when it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you," God don't want you to feel like just because you made a mistake or just because you did something wrong, that is no hope for you. All right, because under the law, certain sins merited you to be stoned to death or murdered or killed. Under grace, you got an opportunity to repent. All right, that's what this scripture right here is saying when it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." In other words, you don't want to feel so bad about what you did to where you lose hope. All right, because as long as you're breathing and you can get on your knees and ask for forgiveness, you got a chance to make what's wrong right. All right, so I wanted to say that to the people that might be listening or might check into this later on and when they going through the episodes. I don't want nobody to feel like if you have done something, even if you're doing something right now, don't feel like there's no hope for you. Now, under the law, under certain circumstances, there was no hope for you. Because if the sin merited your penalty to be death, there was no second chance for you. But under grace, you get chance after chance after chance after chance. All right? But where we mess up, under grace, we start abusing the attributes of grace. And that's when it becomes a problem, all right? You know, when you constantly keep sinning over the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, especially if you haven't even put into actions the strides to try to get better, to try to improve, you can't use grace as a way out or as an excuse to cover the constant sinning when you're not even doing what the Bible is requiring for you to grow in grace. And when you grow in grace, that helps you at least graduate from repeating the same sin over and over again. All right? So when the Bible says, well, should we sin because of grace? God forbid. That's what that's referring to. That's not giving you carte blanche or okay card because we're under grace. You get a little bit of leniency for your mistakes under grace, where there was no leniency under the law. All right, and I'm a stop there because I'm really anxious to hear what brother Aaron got to say. In reference to what I just said,
I'll let Jay, you know, respond to that, because I know he definitely has some things to, you know, to add to that.
Well, I just want to first say, I'm gonna read this one scripture. This is in Isaiah. It's Isaiah 59 in the second chapter. It says, But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Then verse 3 says, for your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue has muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any plea for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They mischief and bring forth iniquity. One thing, when you're dealing with sin, sin is an offense to God. It's something that separates the creation from the Creator. You know, man by nature is a sinner, and it's the sin, that sin nature, is what separates God and man. That's why, in that first nature, you know, we talk about repentance and salvation, being born again. That's what brings us back into fellowship and a relationship with God. Because of the flesh sin, I mean sin, the wickedness of man, things like that. And God, we can't stand in the presence of God or in a relationship with God when we have unrepented sins in our life. It's a difference. Everyone, you know, sins or does, but the thing about it is when you stay in an unrepented sin, or acknowledging the sin, or acknowledging the offense to God, that's what creates the problem. That's what creates the problem. When you get to the point in life and you're living life where it doesn't matter, you feel as though that your life is nothing that you can do that offends God, or you don't even think or acknowledge God in that sense, to give him his due. And to give God his due is to acknowledge him, acknowledge who you are, and acknowledge your position when it comes to God. And if you do something wrong, I know even the advocate has heard this scripture where it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans, the third chapter, the 23rd verse, says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's a condition that all man has been put in from the sin of Adam. Adam's disobedience has put us in that category. For all have sinned. We all have sinned just because Adam has sinned. But then, that's just the first, that gives us our sin nature. Then there are the mortal sins, the sins that we do by actions once we know, especially when you know what God's principles and standards are. And when you willfully do what is opposite of what he expects, it's an offense. And when those things remain unforgiven, when those things remain unrepented, it keeps you in a sinful state. And that sinful state that keeps you in, is it produces wages. It's what you're earning. And those wages are not blessed fruits. It's not something great. Those wages that we produce when we stay in an unrepented state is death. And it's not just a physical death; it's the spirit. It's a spiritual death. The inner man, the soul, the inner you, not the actual flesh of you, but your soul, your mind, the spiritual man. That's what is dead. That's what it produces death to. And that's why it must be repented of in this life or whatever. And even, and I'm speaking right now from Christianity. I'm speaking from that, which I'm going to speak from, like, in the Bible, what the Bible expects. And I know there can be many arguments that can take place of what sin is. Why were we born into sin? And, you know, where did the word come from? Who created sin? How do we know it's a sin if we're just going by the Bible? Or without the Bible, does sin even exist? Period. That argument, it can be stated. But I'm speaking from the Bible of what sin is. And sin is anything that offends God, anything that goes against the will of God, what he expects or desires for his creation, which is mankind. And I'm going to stop right there. We can go, you know, further in the show. We can go some more with that. But, Aaron, you can go ahead and say what you want to say. Hello? Apostle Young.
I think Aaron is doing some deep research.
No, I think his phone dropped. His call dropped.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
Can anybody hear me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we can hear you now, man. What's going on?
Okay. Yeah, I hung up by mistake and I called back. I don't think you realized that I was waiting.
Okay.
I just said that I've been listening the whole time. I just said whatever I might say, it may be offensive. I don't mean it to be offensive. I am just sharing arguments that I've heard people explain to me, explain to other people, watching debates and doing research and finding out concepts and finding out people's reasoning, the Christian reasoning for faith. I mean, I'm sorry, for sin. And the redemption, and you know, so if it may be offensive to some, I am not directly trying to offend anyone. I'm just stating arguments. That's all I'm doing. But since
that was a good disclaimer, bro.
Yeah, what'd you say?
That was a good disclaimer. I like that.
But you know, since it's coming out of my mouth. You know, it might sound direct, but it's not. I'm just letting everybody know.
Okay.
the whole concept of sin, it made so much sense. It made so much sense to me in the realm of Christianity, in the realm of believing, in the whole concept of sin. According to the Old Testament and later into the New Testament. When you start to take yourself out of the faith, looking from the outside in, and you start to evaluate certain things that you may not have while you were actually in a particular faith, you start to really question things. Do you start to really see how things may or may not make sense or may not tie into the whole concept of the whole morality, which is built up of sin and the whole redemption concept. From a Christian's point of view, I can see how it makes sense. But looking at it from a Muslim to a Christian, I can see how it wouldn't make sense. From a Buddhist looking in at Christianity, I can see how it doesn't make sense. From an atheist looking at it from Christianity, I can see how it doesn't make sense. I don't know too many other religions in that respect. And the little bit that I do know of those, I know Christianity in the sense of redemption and sin doesn't necessarily make total sense. But though basically within Christianity, the whole concept is, and you can tell me if I'm wrong or not, it all boils down from the original sin. The original sin was Adam was given strict instructions. Adam didn't follow the instructions, whether it was at his hand or not. He ultimately didn't follow the instructions. Mm-hmm. Since he didn't follow the instructions, he was deemed with an ultimate curse that basically cursed him and his seed all the way down to us, if we claim the stories of Adam and Eve to be true. Now, it was introduced, the whole concept of disobeying God was introduced through or in the garden with Satan, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But actually, the word sin doesn't necessarily come up in that whole scene. It actually, the first time you actually see sin, the word sin, is later on in Genesis when it's referring to the two sons. Their name is, Cain and Abel. And Seth later on, from what we know. That was the first time actually sin was actually introduced into the Bible itself. So I wouldn't necessarily know if, according to the Bible, strictly to the Bible, I wouldn't necessarily know if what Adam basically did was viewed as the sin, but we all see it as viewed as the original sin. Basically, because of this sin, everybody else suffers from it. That's why Christ had to come. Christ had to basically be Adam all over again, but he had to do it right. And Adam didn't do it right. So that's basically the whole concept of sin, right?
Yeah,
like how it all started.
All disobedience is sin.
No, I'm just saying like the whole concept of sin, like
yep,
it all started from
yep.
Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, one fallacy I can see that doesn't tie in is if God knows all, sees all, God is benevolent, God is omnipresent, God is all of the omnis and shuns. If God is all of those things, why was it in the whole scheme of things, whether you believe it was in the scheme or not, you would kind of contradict yourself if you say it wasn't in the scheme of things, because since God knows all and God has the power to stop things, because he has stopped things before, but we pick and choose what things God wants to stop or not stop. But why didn't God basically say, you know, I asked you this question before, but since God is all powerful, all God could have done was stop it right there, and nobody could have basically suffered from the sins of someone else's transgression if all God had to do was stop it right there. That's one fallacy that I actually see other people view as an argument from other types of religions. And I'll stop right there for now.
Okay. Well, let me answer or attempt to answer that. From the onset, all right, God's intentions was always for a man to be a free spirit or
free agent.
Free agent. All right. Mm-hmm. So if that was not his plan, he wouldn't have never gave them the option
of a choice. So because that was all a part of his plan for them to have that liberty and that freedom, because of that, he's always going to give us options, give us a choice. And it's up to us, because of our free will, to choose wisely.
And that is all well and good, and everything that you said makes total sense. But it still leaves the question. We still can have choice, and Adam could have still failed the test that was in front of him, or he could have failed, you know, God's little game he was playing with him, whatever or however you may see it. He still would have had a choice. But God also, being a benevolent, all-powerful God, still could have said, I'm not going to basically take your one mistake, which was disobeying me and eating an apple or eating whatever type of fruit you want to claim it to be, and I'm going to punish the rest of the world because of one disobedient act that you did. It still doesn't take away the fact that Adam still had a choice. Adam still could have chose that. But God could have also said, you know what? You did that. I know you're sorry. I can cut it from here.
Well, let me ask you this. In Genesis, I'm going to start at the third chapter in the first verse. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And I just want to stop right there. If God gave them a commandment, and God gave them word that if you do this, this is what happened, lest ye die. If God said that, which according to the Bible, God is not a liar. When he says something, that's what it's supposed to be. So my question is, if he said, if you do this, if God said, don't eat, neither touch it, lest ye die. Now, they ate it, and they touched it. So his word had to come forth. Like, it had to happen. Like, they had to actually die spiritually, or you lose their dominion, or it, matter of fact, it even opened up the window, not for them just to die right then, but it brought death into existence.
Okay, my question is, you just said, well, first of all, you still didn't answer the question,
you're saying why did God could have just forgave them, or God could have just forgave Adam and just said it's like that, no one has to pay the penalty or for nothing. But the consequence is, when you go against God's word, when God says something, he's God. If God says something and he says this is the result of that, that's the result of it. Whether he has a plan to deliver you or another plan, but you still have to feel the penalty of your actions.
And
or the consequence
well
of your actions.
And I'm not denying that. Yes, if someone does wrong against someone else who laid down laws, true indeed, you should pay some type of consequence.
Not some type of.
My
he said, lest she die. That's what God said.
This is my thing. Now, it could have
ended.
Yeah,
it's your thing.
It could have ended with Adam and Eve, but it didn't just end with Adam and Eve.
It did,
what
because when they sinned,
in
their loins.
God never told them that. The only thing God said is that you will die. And after that, then you have to make some type of concept of what was he referring to when he was referring to them in death. Was he referring to an actual physical death? Was he referring to a spiritual death? Which one was he referring to? Because if he was referring to a spiritual death, then how come God still spoke to them? How come, you know, they were still mentioned? And then if he was talking about a physical death, how come they didn't just die just right then and there? But ultimately, still, the question still remains. If this is a benevolent God, why did this God decide to say, hey, because of your sin, I'm going to make all of the generations after you punish. I'm going to punish them because of what you did. They had nothing to do with it. But because you did something, I'm going to punish everybody else because of that. Then I'm going to send down my own son and basically pay the consequences of something that I could have fixed from the very beginning. I'm going to bring my son down here and beat him up and get him abused and get him spit on and all this stuff and crucified and all this stuff, when the whole thing could have been ended right at the very beginning. Now,
so let me ask you this.
You know what
would have been the perfect way for God to do it?
I just told you what would have been a perfect way.
So just to forgive him, I'm just saying that would have been a perfect way for God. Like you're just saying, right? He just ended.
I'm basing it straight off of how we view Christianity today. When we do something and we actually transgress against God or whatever the case is, what happens is when we ask God to forgive, it says he throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. And sometimes, depending on what the sin was, we're either faced with the consequence, or the consequence is not even faced. A lot of times, when we sin, we don't see consequences from it.
Didn't you just say
no,
forgiveness?
That's not true.
Yes, it is true.
That's not true.
Well, I can tell you, speaking from experience, I've done some things, literally.
I'm gonna tell you something. Hold on, I gotta get one thing we gotta get straight here too on the air, and I know this, Mr. Advocate. If we're talking, right, and we're saying something, right,
mm-hmm.
If we say something about something that you say, right,
mm-hmm.
You will try to, like, get louder and over-talk it and keep going.
Okay.
So, like, let's be mindful, like, let everybody say what they're going to say.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, okay.
Well, what I was getting ready to say was, every time you sin, you the Bible says you reap what you sow. All right. Just because you're not getting it now, don't mean you're not gonna get it. And you're right. You might not see it, but your kids might. Huh? Yeah. Don't think that we're not paying for stuff in our generation. I'm paying for stuff now that my dad might not never seen the consequence from it, but because he did it, I'm feeling the effects of that. So there's sins that you commit that you might not see the consequence in your lifetime, but somebody in your seed might receive the consequence or the penalty for something that you did.
And I said that's all well and good, depending on what sin you have done. That all depends on the sin, because there are certain sins that I could have done that me, myself, or my children, or my generations to come is not necessarily going to see penalty for. Now, you may believe that because that's basically, it goes right along with how you believe. But in actuality, in some cases, it may be possible that they may not never see a particular certain type of sin never relinquishes somebody else's life.
Okay, well, let me ask this. Well, let me say this, Rob. They teach in the biblical seminary that the original intentions that God had for Adam and Eve was for them to live forever. All right. So if that was the case, now you're talking about pre-flood, because, you know, the Bible does talk about another flood before Adam, before Noah.
You do know that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It doesn't necessarily say it. We actually interject what we assume
that that's what it's referring to.
Exactly.
Yeah. So when Adam, because there were men and women on the earth before Adam and Eve.
You can't necessarily prove that.
Well,
but, I mean, I understand where you're coming from.
That's what the Bible says. If you go to, I believe it's the second chapter of Genesis, it says, "Let us make man in our image, let us make him in our likeness." He wasn't talking about Adam and Eve.
I don't know what that rumbling is, but I can't hear you through it.
Oh, that's Jay turning pages in the Bible.
Okay.
But if you go to, I believe it's the second chapter of Genesis, or maybe the first chapter, one of them, where God says, "Let us make man in our image, let us make him in our likeness."
Mm-hmm.
Blah 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 blah. He's not talking about Adam and Eve.
I mean, I won't necessarily take your word for that, but I can take it down. It's your point to be made.
Yeah. So when God created Adam and Eve, He formed Adam out of the dust of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
When he said, "Let us make man in our image, let us make him in our likeness," it doesn't give no specifics on how he went about forming them, what he used, or anything. In other words, he spoke the words, and man appeared. Because all this was going on when he was actually creating the world.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, when he made Adam, the Bible says he made Adam out of the dust of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Breathed the breath of life in him, and Adam became a living thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So they teach in this, to get back to my point, they teach in the seminary that Adam and Eve was never supposed to, God's original plan was for them never to die.
So you're saying that the Almighty God, someone had to basically allow him to change his plan and have the power to actually keep his plan intact?
No, I didn't hear what you said.
I'm sorry. I said, are you telling me or are you assuming that the Almighty, benevolent, all-powerful God didn't necessarily, I don't like the comments, Mr. J. Thank you, sir. The all-powerful God, you're telling me that it's possible for someone or something to be so powerful and yet and still his plan has to be altered because somebody put a little wrench in it? You're saying that God couldn't fix it at that particular moment, right then and there?
No, what I'm saying is this. Because God's intention was always for man to be a free spirit.
So man could have been a free spirit. So why could not God fix the situation right then? Because if you're saying that God's intention was for man to be a free
maybe
spirit
just,
or a
not
free
to
agent,
fix it. Maybe no,
wait,
just
well, I'm just
not to fix it, because maybe it was in his plan not to fix it, because he saw all of us coming down the line. Who
so
would say he would even be here if what Adam did? If Adam didn't do what he did, who's to say we would be here today?
Because you believe in a God that could do anything and all things except fail. And if that's true, then God could have very easily, because God has the power to do so, to have created all of us without any of the suffering at hand because of what Adam did.
But it was always God's plan for man to replenish the earth.
So man still
has always been God's plan.
Not for God to create robots.
I'm saying
that's always been the plan of God.
I'm sorry, man.
So if God's plan was to just create everything that, like you're saying, it wouldn't have been no need to even create Adam and Eve. He could have.
No, my question to you is, could he have created Adam and Eve and everything still would have flourished the way it could have been with God forgiving them and everybody not falling under the law of sin?
But
was that possible?
If that's what he wanted, don't you think he could have done it?
That's my question.
Okay, well, to answer your question, if that was his plan, of course he would have did it.
So God didn't want that to happen. God wanted all of this destruction, chaos, and for his purpose.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Later.
Adam chose. Adam made a choice. And because Adam made a choice, this is what happened.
And my question to you is, if God is all-powerful, still went the same way, couldn't God have just said, Adam, I forgive you? And everything could have been the same way.
Yes, to answer your question, yes.
Okay.
Why he didn't do it? You have to. When you see God on that day, you can ask him.
Thank you. Now, Apostle Louis Young, that's all I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear, you know what? I don't know, because that's not an answer that I can give.
That's not an answer that I could give. That's not an answer nobody could give, because only God has the answer to that.
So
indeed. It's a legitimate question. And the only legitimate answer that I could give is yes. God has the power. He had the power then. He has the power now. That if he wanted to right that wrong when it originally happened, yes, he could have. Why he didn't? That's a question that I guess we'll be asking until God returns.
And I'm totally, I can accept that answer rather than someone trying to explain to me the mindset of God and why God chose what God chose at that particular time. Now, not necessarily. Now, the reason why I brought that up is because that particular argument is an argument that a lot of people have problems with. Just like you just said, I totally understand how that question can be a question. It is something that, you know, doesn't necessarily make sense, but you would have to ask God that whenever the time you come that you meet. So that's one of the issues that other religions or non-believers would have a problem with.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, let me ask this. What does, and this is for the advocate, what is your definition of sin?
I don't have a definition of sin. I have a definition of what the Bible says sin is.
And what is that?
Anything that God says is wrong. No, I apologize. Whatever God says or deems to be right is being righteous. Whatever God says or deems to be, or you don't follow the will of God, or whatever God deems to be the will at that particular time, that's considered a sin.
Okay.
So let me ask you a question then.
Keep asking. I love these questions.
Okay. I believe right now you got about three kids, right?
Four.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, four.
Uh-huh.
Now, let's say your kids get to the age, because I think your oldest child is how old?
He's 11.
That's your boy, right? That's your son.
Yes.
Okay. Your son is 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got three other kids.
Mm-hmm. One is 10. One is
3 and 1 is 1.
Okay. Now, soon, real soon, especially now because your son's soon going to be 12,
mm-hmm.
you're going to start really, like, laying down rules that you haven't probably, because knowing you, you probably done already started doing this.
You're a real
foundational type of cat. So I know you done already started laying down rules of
mm-hmm.
what you want, how you want it done, boom,
mm-hmm.
boom, 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 boom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm quite sure you already know what you're going to do to your son the first time he breaks one of the rules.
I have an idea, yeah. I don't necessarily know what I'm going to do until the situation comes.
Okay, but you know you're going to do something, right?
Yes, correct.
Now, you might not necessarily know exactly what you're going to do,
mm-hmm.
but you know if your son breaks the rules, he's going to be penalized for the rules that he breaks, right?
This is true.
Well, if that's how you are with your relationship with your in your house, how come if you got rules and regulations you want to follow, how come God can't have the same thing?
God can have the same thing, and I am nowhere near having any type of discrepancy against a creator of the world, some type of rule from a Christian's point of view. I have no problem with that. Our problem is the
Well, hold on. Before you answer that, let me say this. Now, God forbid, let's say your son breaks the rule, and your rule is you got to be in the house for 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
He comes in at 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And when you ask him, well, son, why did you break the rules and came in at 1 o'clock? And your son say to you, because I just wanted to. How would that make you feel?
It makes me feel mad. I'm going to punch him right in his
It makes you feel mad. You're gonna want to punch him right in his throat. You're going to want to. Wouldn't you feel like he committed a sin against the rules?
I wouldn't say sin.
But he offended you.
Wouldn't you feel offended, though?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's what sin is.
See, we're made in the image of God. So if that's how you feel with your son breaking the rules, how you think God feels?
Okay. Now, I'll answer that.
Okay.
Now, I'll come with two responses to it. Number one, Aaron, myself, God, I believe, is a very, very, very understatement. I don't think in no kind of way can I compare to God. The way I would handle something, I believe that God would have a lot more wisdom, a lot more sense to actually handle something a whole lot better than I would. Now, not one time did I say the way I would handle the situation of my son was correct. I just said that I would handle it that way. I'm a dumb human being compared to God. That's the first part. Second part is, if my son broke the rules of not coming in the house at the time he was supposed to come in the house, he would have a consequence that was equal to the law he broke. Christianity, the equivalent of the sin compared to the punishment of it, it's totally, totally unbalanced.
And what can you give to validate that?
Okay.
What example can you give to validate that statement?
Let's say my daughter said, "Daddy, I don't believe you're my father, and I don't see you as my father." I would say, doesn't make a difference. You can believe or not believe all you want. I actually have proof that I am. But even if you don't want to take the proof that I give you, if you don't care to think that I'm your father, that's on you. Someday you might come to the reality and check out the test and believe the science behind it. Or accept the science behind it. You don't have to believe it. You just have to accept it or not. So if she doesn't, that's on her. But the fact of the matter is, I'm her father. Now, when it comes to Christianity, if I say, God, I choose not to necessarily believe that you are my father. Because of the way I grew up, I grew up in India, so I believe that my father is some of the Hindu gods that I have grown accustomed to believing to be my father. God says, well, because you don't believe in me, I am going to punish you, not with this life. I'm going to punish you in this life, but I'm going to punish you in the life after forever. I think that's totally, totally unbalanced.
So what you're saying is that if somebody's giving me, you got equation A, you got equation B, you got equation C, all right? Equation A is God. Equation B is Hinduism or whatever. Mm-hmm. Equation C is atheist.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, if I got a choice to make, right? In which each choice that I make, there's a penalty and the consequence that comes with it, whether it's bad or good. But at the end of the day, I make the choice. How is God? First of all, God don't send nobody to hell, number one.
God does send people to hell.
No, God don't send nobody to hell.
God does.
Your actions, your choices is what sends you to hell.
No, your choices does not send you to hell. God sends
Why
you
don't
to hell.
They? Why don't they?
Because you're... God is the one who actually created this hell to put people in. So
nope.
You can't, I don't,
nope.
I do not, listen,
nope.
Listen.
That's wrong. God created hell for Satan. He did not create hell for nobody.
Listen, I would believe, I may be stretching far here, but I would believe that no one in their right mind, even people in their wrong mind, I don't believe people would actually agree with saying that I want to willingly, I want to have somebody. Everybody's a man on this radio station, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I want somebody willingly to take my testicles and rip them off over and over and over and over again. I don't think anybody in their right mind would agree with saying, I want this for the rest of my life and my life after. If someone says, hey, I choose to have my testicles ripped out or from me over and over and over again, hey, that's on you. God bless you. Good luck with that. But I don't necessarily believe that anybody actually wants that. Now, we're actually talking about hell. Now, hell's supposed to be 10 times, 100 times, whatever you could possibly imagine, 10 times worse than that. I don't think people choose to do to actually have that done to them or choose to go to hell.
That's not what I said. That's not what I said.
Okay.
Let me say it clearly so you can fully understand. No one ever born wakes up and says, I want to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just make that clear.
Mm-hmm.
That is not what I said. What mm-hmm. I'm saying is, all right, your choices and your actions, all right, is what leads you into hell.
Okay, now my question to you is, you're saying choice. So by me having a choice, that would lead me to conclude that I know that I have options. My option either is continue believing in Hinduism, that I've been raised with, my parents, my forefathers before that, their parents before that, all everybody I know around me believes in this one faith, and I'm choosing to totally step away from my faith, and I choose to actually go into Christianity that I don't know too much about, just because somebody said it one time to me, I choose to go into that. Now, you're saying that somebody has that type of choice. You're saying that everybody has that type of choice, that type of choice. Okay. Well,
yes.
If everyone has that choice. Okay. Well, if they have that choice knowingly, which I don't believe in one sense of the word believe or accept. But if everybody does have, let's say hypothetically they do have that choice and they know what Christianity is and they know what Hinduism is. Let's say they have the choice. You're saying that if they continue to believe in what they believe, they are willingly saying, I want my testicles to be ripped off of me infinity times forever and ever and ever because I know that's the consequence. I'm going to say, screw Hinduism, I'm going to Christianity.
This is what I'm saying. To answer your question,
mm-hmm.
If somebody that's been a Hindu all their life, that's mm-hmm. all they know. They never heard anything else about Christianity or any other religion.
Mm-hmm.
And then another religion is presented to them.
Mm-hmm.
They can't make a choice about a religion they don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
Once the information is presented to them, their choice is either stay with what's been working for them, or they could choose to go with what they've heard. That's
so. Then my question to you is: well, the first question is: are you saying that there may be some people that may not have heard of Christianity before they died, and they grew up in a certain type of religion, and they never heard of? Okay, well then they don't have a choice. Now, let's talk about the other people that actually do have a choice. You're saying that people in their right mind, if they know the consequence of sticking with their religion results in eternal damnation for the rest of their life and their afterlife, they are willingly choosing to be damned for the rest of their life. That's what they're choosing.
No, what they're choosing.
Let me ask you a question.
What they're choosing is whether or not they're going to stick with what they've been doing, or they're going to take heed to what they heard now. And
let me ask the question here.
Hearing it, that they don't believe in the fact that if I don't believe in this religion, I'm not going to go to hell, and I'm going to stick with doing what I've been doing. That's their choice.
Let me ask you this.
If they chose wrong, that's the penalty.
Okay.
But it's still their choice.
Okay.
So if someone goes out here, say if it's a law that's passed where if you get caught with heroin, or selling heroin is 50 years or 30 years in prison, right? And you know what that law states. And you go out here and you still sell heroin, and you know what the penalty of it is. You get caught and locked up, and you get sent to jail.
Is that the judge's fault, or is that the fault?
Is it your fault, or is it the judge's fault?
It's my fault.
Okay.
Can I? You want me to answer back to that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first of all, again, you are comparing apples to oranges.
Go ahead. Here you go with this apple and orange stuff. Go ahead.
Thank you. Because
I'm gonna let you talk. Go ahead. You got the floor. Go ahead.
First of all, if someone is trying to, or if someone is selling drugs or trying to get away with selling drugs, the whole intent of that person is not to get caught. Now, they may mess up or make a mistake or whatever the case is and get caught. But the reason they're doing it is because their intentions is on not getting caught. Now, that's totally different from me knowing
or not believing they'll get caught.
Me knowing that, listen, I am talking about a God who sees and knows all. There's no possible way that I can get around this situation. If I do not accept what you claim to be true, then I, without a shadow of a doubt, because I'm going to die one day, and after I die, I'm choosing to be tortured and damned for the rest of my afterlife. Totally different.
Well, I'm going to answer that just like I've been answering for the last 15 minutes. All right. As somebody, now listen to me carefully, if somebody gives you an option to have a steak dinner with all the trimmings, that's in the one hand, and then somebody's offering you a plate of old Cadillac generation dog food in the other hand, and you choose the dog food over the steak dinner, that's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So whatever consequences that you get from eating that generation dog food is because of the choice or the choice you made. Now, I'm saying that to say this. If somebody is in front of somebody of a different religion and they speaking about the word of God, the penalties of sin, and the penalty of not knowing God and the pardon of your sins and you dying and going to hell, after hearing all of that, and then they decide, I don't want to have no part of that, I don't want to have nothing to do with this Christianity stuff, I'm good where I'm at, they die. Wherever they go at that point is because of a decision that they made. Whether they don't go to hell or not, it's still a decision. It's still from a choice and a decision that they made.
I have a question for you. Would you ever, ever lay down your belief for to be a Muslim?
Nope.
Would you ever lay down your belief to be Hindu?
Nope.
Why not?
First of all, because of what they believe,
mm-hmm.
I could never lay down what I believe and pick up what they believe.
Okay.
I know exactly where you're going. I'm not.
Well, Hinduism, you got to understand how they look at sin too.
That's why I said that.
Yeah, you got to look at sin. Like they prefer to sin, not as a crime or act against the will of God. They look at it as against moral order or oneself. So they believe like when whatever you do something wrong, you create a negative karma. You know what I mean? And by violating moral and ethic codes, which automatically brings negative consequences. So they just believe everything that you do, whether it be wrong, it's not an offense to God, it's one to yourself. And those negative consequences or those negative deeds that you do, those negative consequences come back to you, whatever that may be. But they don't believe
it's
that it's actually
like
you.
Called karma, just like you said.
Yeah, karma. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
My question to you is, what if your belief system is wrong?
Then guess what?
Mm-hmm.
I done sacrificed. I done gave up personal wants, desires because of righteousness. And then I have to chalk that up on the other side.
Okay.
You know, when it comes down to it, if everyone is wrong, right? say you are wrong, right? And at the other end, after you die, and we all going here, what can you do? Like, I mean, what can you do? You can't do nothing if you are wrong.
That's why I'd rather be on this side, living the way I'm living, on the assumption, just on the assumption that I'm right.
Okay. In the same way that you would never drop your religion, you would never drop your belief. In the same way, someone is not going to drop their religion, nor are they going to drop their belief.
That's the thing. This discussion tonight is not about trying to make nobody drop nothing.
Yeah, we're talking about.
When I talk to a Hindu, when I talk to a Muslim, they're always trying to convert me. I'm not. All I do is give them what they. I answer the questions that they ask. It's the Muslim that come with the conversion thing. When I talk to a Muslim, I'm never talking to the Muslim trying to tell them how they believe is wrong. It's the Muslim telling me I'm wrong.
All I'm saying is, I believe it has everything to do with our topic tonight, is because based on our religion, which is Christianity, people who do not necessarily accept it to be true is deemed and called a sinner. If you are called a sinner, then you are transgressing God. You are not in the will of God, which leads you to the ultimate penalty.
Well, you got Christians that are labeled sinners. So you don't necessarily have to be a Muslim or a Hindu to be, because you got Christians that believe like we believe, talk like we talk, but they sin every day.
And
Muslims, they have a view on sin too, though.
Yeah, everybody actually has a view on sin.
Yeah.
I have a question for you too. If God deems something to be right, and it is morally wrong as we know it today, or any day at that matter, would it be a sin?
Well, I'm gonna tell you like this. I'm gonna tell you like this. In Isaiah 64:6, it says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags." So I look at it like this. What we might look at when it comes to God and man, what man might look at as his good as greater than a thought from God, I don't see that. Like, I don't believe at all, not one bit, that the righteousness of man is above the righteousness of God. Like, in a nutshell.
I don't see that.
That wasn't my question. I asked it again.
Yeah, but that answers your question.
No, it doesn't.
How doesn't it answer your question? You said, do I believe that that something that God says, right? You said something that God says, right? He deems wrong, but we morally think that it's right. That's what you said?
No, I didn't say that.
Well, man morally thinks that it's wrong, but God says it's right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, to me, God overrules. Like, God, his will overrides that.
So that's what my question is. Whatever God says, no matter what it is, if God says it to be right, then it's right, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Now, if you go back to who God chose to kill, or God, I mean, if you go into that type of stuff, I mean, we can go there with that too. Because, and the thing about it, when it's all said and done, like, man can't judge God, but God can judge man.
So the answer to my question is, anything that God deems to be.
Yo, God's will is right above man, period.
He's sovereign.
So however you want to say it.
He's sovereign. So,
He outranks, God outranks man.
Yeah,
period.
So basically.
Period. We said period.
Yeah,
God
okay.
outranks man. So go with your next question.
I'm just giving an example. That's all.
Go with your next question.
Yeah,
bring the next one.
My question is, it's actually wrong for me to kill someone, but if God says it's okay for me to kill someone, then it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. Now, let's be realistic.
Yeah. Anybody can say God told me to kill somebody. Like we've heard that one before.
I don't have to say that because the Bible says it itself. I don't have to resort to somebody claiming that God. I'm just referring back to that's all. And you just answered my question, and I'm okay with the answer that you gave.
But I know, is there a next question behind that one? I answered it. Bring the next one.
It gives validity to why Christianity and the concept of sin doesn't make sense. So that's why I asked it, and you gave me the right answer.
So you're saying that sin doesn't make sense because if God says for something to die, it's wrong for God to say something for something to die or something needs to be killed. But if man do it, it's wrong.
No, if I want to kill somebody, it's wrong. But if God tells me to kill that person, then that same act is correct because God said do so.
But do you actually think that God is going to tell you it today, in this age, to just randomly go and kill somebody?
It doesn't make a difference whether it was in today's time or
Let me ask you this question. And I know you read the Bible. I'm asking this question because I really want to know this. Like, cause, you know, no one can know anything in the Bible. According to the Bible, as we know it and read it and have read it and you've read it, I've read it, and different ones read it. Has God told anyone to kill anyone after Christ died on the cross for the sins of man?
Nope.
Oh, yeah.
Who?
Read Revelation.
Read Revelation.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of killing.
Oh, come on, man. You fishing now.
I didn't fish for anything. Read Revelation.
I read Revelation. So what's your point?
Who's going to be killed in Revelations?
Unbelievers and people who take the side of Satan.
Killed how?
So you said the wicked going to be killed, right?
Whatever you want to call them.
Oh, and
who is going to kill them?
Jesus and the people that are on Jesus' side, or the saints that are on Jesus' side, or the angels, or whoever. But Jay asked the question. I just answered the question. That's all.
No, I'm saying, and to you, that would be wrong, right?
I'm not necessarily saying it's something right or wrong. Only thing I'm doing is asking questions
because you said those are on the devil's side, right? And according to the Bible, like, hell was created for Satan, wasn't it?
Yep.
If you say so, okay.
If you read the Bible, like, you said you mentioned Revelations. Have you ever read that scripture?
Read what scripture?
About
the original
hell being created for hell. Yeah.
No, because I don't. I mean, if you can find it for me, I'll be glad to listen.
Okay, I'll find it for you.
Okay.
I'll find it for you.
I'm trying to think of some other things that that sin doesn't make sense. Another question while Jay is looking up the scripture is sin totally based on society and culture, or is sin always and forevermore, and nothing is necessary? Like, sin can't change. Sin will always be sin, and certain things that was considered a sin 2,000 years ago or 10,000 years ago is still considered sin today. I want you to look for that scripture. I need that scripture from you.
Oh, yeah, I'm about to get that scripture to you. I'm looking. Y'all ain't got to be quiet though while I'm looking.
I asked Apostle the question.
No, what was the question again? Because I was looking for the scripture myself.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said, is sin based on society and culture, or is sin just sin? Sin basically outlived society and culture. So, what was considered wrong 2 to 10,000 years ago? Considered wrong today. Well, considered sin today.
Well, the dictionary, when the dictionary gives a definition to sin, one of the definitions says when your actions or choices offend God.
Well, are there any type of choices that was considered offending God at one point, but no longer?
Okay, name one sin that you can commit that would not offend God?
I'm asking you.
I don't know of any.
Oh, you don't?
No.
All right. How about some of the laws that was considered to be sinful in the eyesight of God? It was a transgression. A man and his hair, a woman shaving her head, a woman not being covered, her head not being covered, men eating certain type of food, men committing certain type of acts with their wives during their menstrual cycle, men wearing certain type of apparel. Are all of those things still actually considered, or even women speaking or having position when they're not supposed to have position, or speak at a time they're not supposed to speak? Are all of those? That's just to name a few. It could be more in detail, but just to name a few.
Okay. Now there's a difference in sin when you sin, or when you break a doctrinal law.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of that stuff you was mentioning was doctrinal laws that Paul set up. When Paul was talking about women in the church and all that other stuff, Paul was quick to say, "I, Paul, say this."
Can you actually find those scriptures where it's not necessarily a sin and God doesn't look at it as being wrong?
God never looked at a woman saying something in the church as a sin.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying just women. I mean, I named a couple, but even if you can find that one, I mean, you know, that would help, you know, some of the listeners who are out there.
But even if you know them, can you name them too? Because you asked the question, and you sound like you got the answer when you asked the question.
I don't have the answer. That's why I'm asking.
I know you have something to say. Whatever the answer gonna be.
It wasn't necessarily a rhetorical question. I was really asking the question.
Okay. God, this.
I'm looking.
This is kind of out there. I mean, I'm just throwing questions out there. I know you guys are looking for stuff, but I'm just throwing stuff out there. If sin is, you know, not the will of God, and the wages of sin is actually death, how long do you think God will let you keep up with the things that you're doing and you hurting the people that you're hurting? Do you think God will allow you to keep transgressing against Him and against His people, where people are dying and people are? Do you think that would be the will of God, actually allow people to basically allow someone to put them through torment and pain and you know, kill them, and you know, like, do you think God will stop that person, or do you think God will keep letting that person, like, you know, hurt you? That's another one. How long would God allow someone's sin to you know, be the cause of you dying, basically, like?
Well, just to answer, just to say something on that, I don't think no one can actually answer how long he will allow it, because if you look at time, I mean, even right now, you got mass genocides that take place where thousands of children are being murdered, or women and children, or and all type of stuff that goes on. And these are those people that are doing these acts against people, and it has lasted, some has lasted for months at a time, some have lasted for days or hours. Some of the dudes who have done it were killed immediately. Some dudes weren't caught. Some dudes kept doing it for years and years and still haven't been caught and on the run. So, I mean, no one can actually give you an answer how long will God allow someone to do a wrong to another individual. I don't think no man can answer that question.
Because
it'll be different, because I can go out here and rob banks for years and don't get caught. You can go out here and rob a bank and get caught the first time you do it.
So do you think that it's in God's will to allow us to suffer?
In His will to allow us to suffer?
Yeah.
No, it's not. But your actions and your choices is what puts you in the situation for you to suffer.
Not even that, because, I mean, a lot of, even like when over in Haiti, when they had the earthquake and the prisoners, the earthquake shook the prison and the prisoners was able to get free, and the prisoners went into the different camps where the women were and were raping the women. They took over the camps and everything, and even to this day, there are still a lot of prisoners that are still free that haven't been caught. And they was doing mad stuff for women, to women and children, all types of stuff, man, over there. And some happened to others longer than others. You know what I mean? And we could say, was it the will of God that it happened? But what I think it boils down to, I believe when it says the wages of sin is death, I believe that even whatever you do to someone, whether you get to see that person justice with your own eyes or we get to see God do something, I believe the end result of that individual's life, it will be dealt with. Like, you'll be dealt with. We don't know. I don't know what timetable, you know what I mean? But I believe that it will be dealt with one way or another. You know what I'm saying? And I mean,
you know, that's all well and good if that's the case. But do you think that it's God's will to allow this suffering to happen? If God can actually stop the suffering, and I'm not saying, you know, people actually you know, choosing the suffer upon themselves.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. That's just like saying, well, God, is it God's will to allow someone to suffer dying from cancer?
Yeah, well, I mean, in,
you know what
any
I mean? Dying, like anything that an individual or mankind can go through, is it God's will that,
yeah,
you know, he goes through those things?
Mm-hmm.
I believe, this is what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that it is God's will that man prosper and be in good health as well as his soul prosper. I believe that God really wants your soul and to actually be healed and be right. It's appointed unto man. Every man, we all in this fleshly body going to die one way or another, one day. Whether it's by a horrible death, or it's by natural causes, or, I mean, however it happens, we're all going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if God had compassion, or if he was to let his emotions or feelings get in the way of every individual when it comes to death or something happening to them, everyone would be living forever. You know what I'm saying? Like, no one will ever die. But in this world, the way things is, man dies. You know what I mean? Rather,
why? I mean, of course man dies, but why do men have to suffer? Why do children have to suffer?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, that's a good question. And, I mean, I don't have an answer to why children have to suffer. I mean, I can't answer that. I would love someone on this line or a caller to call in and give us an answer of that. That would be, I mean, to actually hear why God allows it to happen, or does he allow it to happen? Is it his will? I mean, that's a good question. But I do know it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like people, like, I mean, come on. I mean, if that's the case, man, look at everything that's happening right now, like in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like that happens, I mean, in the world. In Africa, any place you can name of, all the different things that happen. I didn't even know Brother Matu, when he calls in and he talks about how, you know, he's one who is fighting. He has a cause, you know what I mean, for the African people and their cause, you know what I mean, and different things, slavery, all the different things that, I mean, that they've been through. And then the question is, does God allow it to happen? Is it the will of God that happened?
Well,
I mean, who can actually answer that?
It's kind of, I don't know. It's like a catch-22 dealing with that, because what I hear a lot is if God is all powerful and chooses not to, like, you know, get rid of evil, like, you know, eradicate evil, then God falls under, you know, term called malevolent, and it's like you're basically wishing harm to people, because if you can actually prevent certain things from happening, don't. It's like you're kind of given ill will. If you can actually stop a situation from happening, power. Basically, erratic certain type of situations and allow, not necessarily deserve it, not to suffer, but do it. What is it? Hey.
Well, but let me, didn't you say one thing too, I think one time, or mention someone? Hello?
Yeah.
No,
oh, okay.
we got another caller on. We allowed another caller just came online.
Okay.
Hello?
Will that
caller?
Speak? Was I supposed to speak? I didn't know if I was supposed to interrupt.
Yes. Yes, you can talk. You can speak.
Hi, this is my first time calling.
How you doing?
First time listening. Good evening.
Hello.
I just tuned in about 5 minutes ago.
Okay.
So I don't know how the topic started, but there was a question thrown out there, I believe, as to why the suffering goes on, and is it in God's will or not? Was
mm-hmm.
that the question?
Yeah, I asked that question.
I feel, and this is just a suggestion, that for every good, there's a bad. For every person that's prospering, there's someone that's going through. Every positive, there's a negative in itself, a yin-yang. In order for the circle of life, even, is it in God's will? I believe it is. Certain things that are meant to happen. So, God, when you people associate God's will, they automatically assume that it's all good. And yes, God is all good and everything about him is all good, but there's also the other side of the good. And sometimes that person will be that one that has to just go through that bad. And there is not always an explanation why. It's just because. Am I on the right? Am I going with the flow of how y'all are going?
You're talking. I would have a question for you, though. My question would be, are you saying that God cannot create a world where there is no bad in it? Like, it has to be bad to actually equate the good to keep balance?
That's coming later. When the Bible says, and there shall be a new heaven and a new earth, that's coming.
Well, then, see, that's my case, then. If God can actually make this world real and true, why isn't it here now?
And what's taking so
because
long for it to get
here?
Because
this one is here now. God is a God of order. What he speaks has to come to pass.
So, for there
to be a new heaven and a new earth, there has to be an old one first.
So my question would be, why does there right now have to be all of the suffering going on?
So why he can't just push a button and everything is just good?
Because God is actually, you're saying God is actually going to make that happen eventually. So if God's going to make it happen eventually, why doesn't God make that eventually happen now? To eradicate all of the ill will against good people.
What are good people?
Well, coming from a Christian's point of view, anybody who believes in God and follows his laws and follows the instructions of God.
So what is a good person to you?
A good person to me is someone who lives their life the best way they can.
Morally correct.
Without necessarily harming other people in the process of living a good life. The least possible harm to other people.
As long as you do that, everything is good.
I'm not saying everything is good. I'm saying that is my definition of a good person.
Well, that's his definition. You know, we don't want to disvalue his definition. That's his definition.
No. Well, I'm just saying, I believe like this, man. I believe that God is the creator, and we are the creation. And when you live your life and choose not to acknowledge who the creator is, call it how you want it, I believe it's a consequence behind that.
Yeah, see, my problem with that is, what if I do believe in a creator, but I just don't believe in yours? So then I'm going to get punished by your rules because I don't believe in your creator.
No, I don't have no rules. I'm on like
no,
this.
No,
let
I'm not,
God
I'm not
do
talking,
the job. I'm just, no, what I'm saying
your
is like
rules.
This.
I wasn't talking about your rules. I was talking about God's rules.
Yeah, but you said your rules. So when you say that, my belief, but you got to understand one thing. Like I always tell you like this. in the end, when it's all said and done, regardless of how it goes, Jay, Lou, Aaron, the young lady that's on the phone.
My name is Tish.
What's your name?
Tish.
Tish, yeah. Oh, how you doing, Tish? Listen, none of us will be judging anyone. We are not God. We are the creation, all right? We are not God. So I can live my life and I can be like, all right, this is the right way. You can live your life and be like, yo, that's the right way. Someone else could be like, long as I do good things, I don't have to acknowledge God. I can just, long as I treat people right. And you know what? Hey, who knows what will happen? I don't know. No one knows. But according to the word of God, which everyone doesn't believe in, we understand that, but there are some that believe in the word of God. When you believe according to the word of God, or it teaches you to acknowledge God and to accept him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You know what I mean? Above any concept of man, God's mind is above man's mind. God's way is greater than God's way. I mean, it's greater than our way. You know what I mean? So I believe that God is the one that's going to do the separating, man. And God is going to he's going to be the one to do the judging when it comes to man, deeds. Whether you go out here and you're murdering people or you're hurting people or you're molesting people or those hidden things in your heart that you let no one know about, God is the one that sees all those things and judges all those things. That is what I believe.
Since we're actually coming from the Bible, and since you said you're coming from a Bible, I would just have to correct a couple of things. Number one, you said that we don't judge. The saints will judge. In the end, the saints will actually judge. With that being another thing that you actually said. If I can't remember, I flip my mind right quick. I lost it. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, judging. You're talking about judging in the end when, according to the Bible, they take off mortality and put on immortality, and given new bodies, given a new whole existence and a whole new being. And with God, then I'm talking about judging right now in this flesh. That's what I'm talking about.
And even
that,
then,
that's what I'm talking about.
I understand that. But even then, we still actually judge. And the reason why we judge on a lot of levels. We judge on a superficial level. We judge on character based on who we want in our lives, who we think is healthy for us or not. And we also judge through religion. And a lot of times, religion actually holds another type of judging, which is condemning people. And whether certain type of Christians, whether certain type of Muslims, whether certain type of other types of beliefs don't necessarily fess up to it, but religion condemns people. I'm not saying that you necessarily condemn someone individually, but if you accept that belief to be true, then by default you condemn as well.
We'll put it this way, like I said before.
I think it's a little unfair. I think it's unfair. That statement is a little unfair.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I didn't make it broad.
It's unfair because we can't sit on the phone or sit on this here radio station and say that Christianity in a whole condemns. Now, you do have some people that are claiming to be Christians, and because they are so closed-minded, and because of their closed-mindedness, they have judged because of their closed-mindedness.
So you don't think that you judge in that same way?
No, I don't.
I have a question for you. What happens to people who are homosexual?
You want to go there, Aaron?
I just asked the question.
I'm saying, do you want to go there?
Let's go there. He said, let's go there. We are talking about the wages of sin. Let's go there. All right. A person that chooses to live a homosexual lifestyle, that's their choice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Do I agree with that choice? No, I don't. Because I don't agree with their choice, I'm not judging them. If that's what if a homosexual wants to live that lifestyle, that is totally up to them.
My question to you is, though, do you believe that they are going to end up in the same place you are? And I'm honestly speaking, I'm not talking from a very, very settled Christian point of view. I'm talking about how you believe a bold Christian that you
claim to
be.
No, I'm going to stay like this.
I want to hear his remark first.
Oh, you want to hear Lou, Apostle Young first?
Yes.
Okay, because I answer it.
Yeah. I'm going to answer it.
Mm-hmm.
According to what I believe,
mm-hmm.
according to what I believe my Bible says, I highly doubt that they'll be in heaven. I highly doubt that.
Now, Apostle, all I'm saying, I'm not saying you're wrong.
No, hold up. The young lady just said something.
Awesome. I'm sorry.
What was your question?
Why won't they be in heaven?
Why wouldn't they be?
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing that God deems abominable can be in heaven.
Okay. Well, see that, and I'm just saying. All I'm saying is, whether you're right or whether you're wrong, I'm saying that you do by default have to claim and pass judgment on those who disagree.
You asked me what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, me answering your question, I'm not judging nobody.
Okay.
I didn't judge nobody according to the word of God. According
isn't
to the
that
Bible.
A final judgment, though? Because isn't it according to God, like, if you're going to not be in heaven, then you're going to be in hell, and you're in hell for a particular reason.
If you hear what I said, according to what I believe. I never
mm-hmm.
said anything about what God is going to do.
So then, yes,
according
to correct.
What,
by default, you do.
Well, okay, if that's what you believe, I don't believe that. I answered the question. The question was, do you believe that they're going to go to heaven? According to what I believe, according to what I've read, I just don't see that happening. I'm not God, though. So there is no according to no default. I'm going by what I believe. I'm not speaking for God.
So are you saying that this is a claim based on your belief, or is this a claim based on God's rules, God's laws?
It's not a claim or nothing. You asked me what I believe, and that's what I said. I said according to what I believe and according to what I've read in this Bible, I can't see a homosexual being in heaven. That's just my opinion.
And I totally accept your opinion. All I'm saying is, by default, your claim based on your religion and your belief automatically judges and condemns. I'm not necessarily saying that you are doing the judging.
Okay, well, according to the word, if the word is saying that, then the word has judged them, not me.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said.
Okay.
I was about to say, you know, you claimed before you can't send anybody to a heaven, nor you can't send anybody to a hell.
That's
so
right.
I'm just saying, based on your